Welcome to Stash Chats, the sewing podcast that unpicks sewing room secrets and celebrates crafty collections. I'm your host, Yvette, co-founder of sewing organizer app Stash Hub, and I'm on a mission to help you fall in love with your stash. Each episode, I'm joined by a different member of the sewing community to chat about their unique stash, personal sewing journey, and what inspires them. This episode, I'm joined by Adam of Adam Sews. Adam has a successful YouTube channel and sells handmade bags and caddies and has recently started selling PDF patterns too. When we recorded this episode, Adam was preparing for his first exhibitor stand at the Creative Craft Show in Birmingham. Adam has a beautifully organised stash of quilting cottons and we talked about his love of collecting Tula Pink fabric.
How are you doing, Adam?
Yeah, not bad, you? I'm good.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
You excited for the show tomorrow?
Yeah, it's been a bit of a day of running around and prepping and trying to get things sorted. I'm hoping it's all sorted, ready for tomorrow when they open.
So is this the Creative Craft Show at Birmingham NEC?
It is. We are in the Simply Christmas Hall, though, because it's like a joint. This one's four shows in one.
Oh, wow.
You've got Simply Christmas, Creative Craft, something to do with cakes, and a fourth one, which I can't remember the name of.
We'll go there then.
Yeah, it's a bit crazy.
Exciting. So you're hoping that people will come and see you and stock up on their Christmas presents then?
Yeah, well, we hope.
Very exciting. We've already got some love for you in the chat, Adam. Bratnell Create says they love you, so talented. And Hello Sewing Sensation as well, made it to a live one. Jessica that says hello as well. So yeah, thanks everyone for joining and keep going in the chat. I'll read you out. So do you want to just start off by doing a little introduction about yourself, Adam, like how long you've been sewing and what you like to make?
Yeah, so I've been sewing basically since I was probably about 12 or 13, so about 20, 22 years, something like that.
Wow.
Quite a while. I sew mainly bags and quilts at the moment, which is quite a new thing to me, really. It's only sort of like the last sort of 3 or 4 years that I've gone into bags and quilting. Before that, it was all garment sewing, but my kind of passion for that is kind of, I love doing it, but it's the business side of my sewing is more bag and quilt related, whereas my hobby side of it is still garment sewing.
So what got you into the bag making side of sewing?
Do you know, I don't actually know. So I obviously got sucked into doing one bag and then I was just like, oh, this is my thing. So I just completely changed what I used to. It's funny because I used to hate wovens and I used to hate anything that didn't have stretch in it. I didn't like using a normal sewing machine. Everything I wanted to make was all overlocker. And my whole method of thinking is completely switched now.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
So with your bags, you make them to sell and you just sell the patterns as well?
Yeah.
Is that right?
I've got four of my own PDF patterns. One of them is a free sort of like scissor pouch, so I don't really count that as a full pattern because it's just a small little sort of freebie. So the bags that I make, most people know me for my caddies because I make more caddies than I have hot dinners.
Because everybody wants
I've only managed to get 7 ready for the show and I don't think they're going to hang around very
long. Oh, well, that's anyone who's going to the NEC. You've got to take note of that now then. If you want a caddy from Adam, you're going to have to get there early in the day.
Yeah, so it's kind of strange because I used to 99% of my fabric stash used to just be jersey and French terry and anything that was knit basically, and now there's this woven wool behind me, which is probably the bulk of my fabric is now woven, whereas 5 or 6 years ago you'd struggle to find anything in here that wasn't knit.
Amazing. So have you got like kind of two separate stashes then for like your dressmaking and bag making?
Yes. So my cutting table itself is my phone's on at the moment, is actually built of two Kallax units back to back. So that, and there's these two Kallax units are all of my Tula stash, and I've actually now moved on to a third Kallax, which is on another wall because I've run out of room here. but they're actually sat on a bigger Kallax unit, which is full of garment fabric as well. So my table is two Kallax units, which is mainly jerseys. I'm just looking now. It's mainly jerseys, double gauze, and sort of ponties and knitwear. And then the Kallax unit below the two that I've got the Tula in are mainly sort of like denims and different things like that, like bottom weight fabrics.
Amazing. I feel like the Kallax unit has become like a unit of measurement. We've got inches, centimetres, the Kallax units in the sewing community.
Yeah. I think when you've sort of outgrown one Kallax, that's when you know that it's starting to get a serious hobby.
Yeah.
And when you're in seventh, it starts getting a problem.
Yeah. We got a couple of comments about your background. Mel says she loves your background, hoping it's all real fabric.
It is. It does get used as well. It's on a very quick rotation, this wool.
Amazing. And then Jessica says, do you know how much fabric you've got?
That is a very good question. I think I'd be scared to know the answer to that one. I've got an idea roughly, but yeah, I don't think I'd want to know.
Measuring it in Kallaxes, yeah. Only. So where do you buy your fabric from?
So majority of my Tula comes from about two or three different places, because it's quite a specialist fabric and not a lot of people seem to stock it. My dressmaking fabric, I get a lot of it through a Facebook group that I'm admin for. A good friend of mine's got a fabric company and she gets really, really lovely high quality fabrics. I order from Fursall Fabrics. I go to Steel City Fabrics. It just depends really. It just depends what I'm after and who's got what, so.
Yeah, so what attracts you to the Tula Pink fabric then? Because you've got quite a lot of that.
You know, it's the intricacy of the prints. You can look at them for 10 minutes and you, like 10 minutes into looking at one fabric, you'll find something in that fabric that you didn't notice when you first looked at it. It's a bit like a wally on every single print.
And when you like make your caddies and your bags and you combine the different prints, do you stick with like the prints from one collection or do you like mix and match how you fancy?
It depends on, I mean, a lot of it's dependent on if it's a custom order, then it's normally someone will say, can you sort of stick to this collection or just sort of, they'll give me free rein and they'll just say, I just want it to look purple mainly. Or, and then if it's a case of it being like a colour theme, then I'll just pull from different collections, just the ones that all sort of merge together. But if someone says that they want something like for instance, above me here, here is the McCall Parrots, which is all part of the Daydreamer collection. So if they said they wanted Daydreamer, then I would just sort of just pick from that section of the Kallax because they all correspond. And
so you've got it all organised by collection as well so that it's easier to pull from.
Yeah.
That's really smart. Sewing Sensation says, is all of your fabric neat, like the fabric behind you?
So all of my Tula is on mini bolts. And all of my quilling fabric is on mini bolts. So this is all mini bolts and this is half bolts. And then my other Kallax unit that's on this other wall, which I can spin around and show you. This one here is overflow Tula.
Overflow.
The lower ones down below are quilting fabrics, but they're non-Tula quilting fabrics, but yeah, they're all mini bolts. And then all of my garment sewn fabric is it's folded and rolled into like little sort of like burritos and stacked on top of each other in the Kallax in the cubes.
Nice. So it all sounds quite well organized then.
Yeah, I can see what I've got in most places.
Nice that you've got the open shelves as well, so it's kind of like a decoration for your room as well as your resource. That's really cool. Mel says, where do you source your hardware from for your bags?
Again, it's sort of all over the place. I tend to buy sort of quite large quantities in one go, so I get some of it from a company called Purpose Stitches. They do some of the best hardware in the UK. I get some of it from it just wherever really. If I pass a haberdasher that happens to have like zipper tape by the yard or by the meter, then I'm just like, oh, maybe I'll just stock up on a few meters.
Excellent. So on the subject of your mini bolts, this creative bliss says, what do you use to make your mini bolts?
So I tend to, I find the best thing to use is leftover Amazon boxes, and there's plenty of them that come through this house. So you tend to, I tend to cut them 5 inches wide by 11 inches tall, which is the perfect size for, because if you've got a 44 inch wide fabric and you fold it twice, it's then 11 inches, so it fits perfectly around it.
And then if you cut all the bolts to the same size as well, that helps all the fabric be the same size on the shelf and makes it look neat.
Yeah.
So Nichols 821 says, what was your first tulle that you bought?
Okay, so my first tulle that I bought wasn't actually something that I bought, it was something that was gifted to me. So I wholeheartedly blame the person that gifted it to me.
Yeah. Do they know what they've done?
No, the first tulle I ever got was... it's a good question. I got the Sea of Tears, which is out of the Alice in Wonderland collection, which is that one with Alice floating in the Sea of Tears.
Wow.
And the other one was part of Zuma, I believe, which was this one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
Quite unusual, but it kind of those two kind of sum up what tulle's all about, because some of them are quite geometric and some of them are completely off the wall. So yeah they were the first two that sucked me in.
Then you couldn't stop.
Yeah.
Quiltysaurus says, have you ever had the chance to meet tulle?
I haven't, unfortunately. We've exchanged a few little likes and comments here and there on Instagram, but I've not yet had the chance to meet her in person. I it's one of those things, isn't it? They say people, you shouldn't meet your heroes. I'm not sure. Although from what I've heard, everyone loves her, so.
Yeah, I listened to her on a podcast recently. I can't remember which one it is, but I'll send you a link to it. She was really good on it.
Yeah,
it was really interesting.
She's wise beyond her years.
Yeah. Definitely like a sort of pragmatic approach to like designing the collections as well, to make it so that they've got like a complete collection if you did want to buy them all and make a quilt. So it's not all like crazy ones, but then they all, you know, even the fillers are still like interesting.
There's a lot of prints that sort of can read as a solid color, but if you actually look at them in detail, there's quite a lot of actual interest in them.
I feel like it's you know, the pain of just buying a plain fabric. I think a lot of sewists is like, don't think I can bring myself to do that.
we forget how important solids are in our, and planes are in our wardrobe. I mean, you can't wear two clashing prints. Well, I mean, you can if you want to, but
you might not.
Sometimes yeah,
exciting. So what questions have you seen? What saw her on Sewing Quarter a few years back, great presentation. Yeah, I'm sure you've probably like brought Tulle Pink to like a lot of new people's attention as well, because I feel like it's not that common in the UK.
Yeah. I've had quite a few people say to me that they've bought quite an extensive amount of it and it was my fault.
Yeah, so we had another question about the Tulle Pink actually from in Agatha's Cottage, and she said, do you have a favourite design?
Yes, I do, and I've spoken about this before. Actually, I was on a live with the Northern Soul Sisters, and someone asked me on there. My favourite is Monkey Wrench, which is this one here, and a lovely friend of mine that came over recently from America actually brought some over for me.
Oh wow!
And it's got the monkey on it here, and the monkey's tail. He's got a where is that? The monkey's tail. Ah, here we go. So it's different on this side. So in the actual tail of the monkey, he's got a monkey wrench.
That's fun.
Which is hence the name Monkey Wrench. Yeah, that's my all-time favourite. At the moment, anyway.
At the moment, yeah. It's subject to change with any new designs.
Yeah, there's one that launched this week, which is Besties, which has got all of the dog prints on it. And this is quite special. It's got the chihuahua. Got the French.
I just love the colour colours. They're just all so bright and fun.
And it's got a Dalmatian. It's got, yeah, it's a pretty good line, that one.
Amazing. Yeah, I really liked the one that you shared recently with the hamsters and the goldfish. Yeah,
that's part of that new line. So it's all about house pets.
Oh, so cute. Right, what's Jessica saying? Got some Tula Pink, True Colours Hexy, and I got some Fat Quarters in a bundle with different colours, and I used to make a sewing organiser to match my sewing room. I'm going to send you a pic.
Oh, lovely. I like the Hexy. It's a really good, again, it's one of those ones that sort of reads as solid from a distance, but when you get up close, it's like a beehive.
Yeah. So Laura loves to sew. They said, what's on your sewing table next to your sewing machine? So your top reached for tools.
Ooh, good. My most reached for tool is my Clover stiletto. Because I do a lot of binding, it's like having a really, really precise finger, basically, that you can't sew over.
Yeah.
So yeah, I use that a lot because it allows you to, I mean, it's one of those tools that you never really know you needed until you've used it. And it's great, especially if it, and it comes into play really well in garment sewing as well. Like if you're feeding the point of a collar into under your needle, so that you want to, when you're top stitching around a collar, or when you're sort of like feeding in the corner of a button placket, it just allows you to hold it in position and get it right into the needle. Whereas your finger's always a little bit too big to get in there.
That's a top tip, actually, because I've never used a stiletto myself, but I have sewn through my finger, yeah. So maybe I need one.
Yeah, they're great. And the thing, like, if you're binding a like an arm side, you can also turn your binding over with the stiletto, and it'll hold it down. So as you feed it through, you can keep turning your binding over, and it gives you a really neat finish.
Nice. How many fat quarters do you use for one caddy?
Interesting. You'd need one, two. You'd probably get two, three, four, five. You probably need five or six, I would say. And you may have.
I mean,
there's. I know that the long panels that go around the outside of the caddy, because the actual external sort of gusset part of it is one long piece, that you may need to join two pieces of fat quarter together to get the length on that piece.
That's quite exciting then. You've got quite a few fabrics to pick and mix and match.
Yeah, they're quite good actually for to make from fat quarters, because it allows you to sort of be selective of what print goes on what panel internally and externally.
Do you tend to buy fat quarters, or do you prefer to buy like longer lengths of fabric?
It depends. What if it's an out of print fabric, if I can only get a fat quarter and it's something that I don't have, then I will go for that. But I tend to like to have a couple of meters of each print.
Yeah, makes sense. So Versatile says her husband wants them to make your crossbody bag in a camouflage fabric.
Oh, fab. That looked great actually, yeah.
It'll be, it's like the opposite of the Tula Pink, I feel like, the camouflage.
Yeah. It would look pretty good though, because it would make it look quite rugged.
Yeah, that's really cool. That's good to hear as well that people are like making your patterns, and
yeah,
to the extent that their partners are requesting your patterns. I felt like that's a big step.
Yeah, I held a sewing social last Saturday, and it's quite bizarre that there was a couple of people that turned up that had actually chosen to sew my patterns at the day, because they were going to make them for gifts. Like my trio of pouches pattern makes like little, they're like sort of like the Russian dolls of pouches that go in, they fit inside each other to store away. And a lot of people seem to like making those for gifts for people as well.
Nice. While we're on the subject of gifts, do you want to chat briefly about a gift to November?
Yes, so it kicks off today. I'm just about to watch Alison's video after this. I've not had a chance to because of driving and everything today. So Gift to November starts today. It is one of the most exciting things that's happened this year in terms of in the sewing calendar. The prizes that we've been able to get donated this year are unreal. I didn't think we'd ever get the prizes that we got this year. People have been so generous. So yeah, it's a really good one to get involved with this year.
Yeah, because I was we're adding the challenges to Stash Hub, so we've got a challenges bit, so you can discover challenges and join in. I was adding a gift to November today, and I was like, oh my gosh, there's so many prizes. Yeah. Like the prize is a sewing machine, isn't it?
Yeah. Comes with a 2-year warranty as well.
Amazing. So are you going to just do a purely random prize draw for that? Are you going to pick a favourite?
Yeah, we normally do like a random prize draw for all of the prizes. That one obviously is going to have to be UK specific because of shipping. But yeah, me and Alison have had we've been in talks about how we're going to pick that one and this, that and the other. But yeah, we're going to think about it throughout the month and think and sort of work out if there's a way that we're going to select that one because of it being sort of like the grand prize.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that's so exciting. Yeah, let us know in the comments as well if you're going to join in a gift to November. You basically just have to sew anything that's as a gift, and then you could win a prize back for yourself. So I feel like it feels very selfless, but actually you could win a fast sewing machine. So it's excellent. So it's a gift to November, and it gets you ready for Christmas. We'll watch Alison next. Yeah, excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm going to try and make this jumpsuit for my mum that she requested like ages and ages ago. So I might make it for her next month, for either for Christmas or for her birthday, because that's in December as well. But yeah, that'll be good.
Yeah, the lady, that's Jenny there that just commented about that. She was at my Simon Social on Saturday and we were arguing about who was going to have the rest of the cake that she brought with us.
Amazing. So we've got a question from Christine Sozalot, who said, other than Tula, what hard to find fabric in the UK have you got your eyes on? What do you want?
There's a couple of cave prints that keep coming up on D-stashes, and I keep really having to sort of like slap my wrist. yeah, because I love cave's fabric as well, but I've got myself down the biggest wormhole with this. That I'm being really strict with myself not to do it again with another designer. So yeah, I'm very selective with cave prints as to which ones I actually allow myself to buy.
Nice. Yeah, I've got one and I made a dress with it and it's really nice. Like the colours are so good.
The base fabric that cave's printed on is beautiful for a garment sewing.
Yeah, it's like not too stiff, but it's like enough structure. I made a big puff sleeve.
Yeah, it's almost more like a cotton lawn rather than a quilting cotton.
Yeah, it's really good. Jessica says, have you got any new patterns in the pipeline?
Oh, there is going to be a new one in the new year.
Oh, exciting.
It will be something that's quite dear to my heart, but that's as far as I'm going to go with.
Oh, tease. Oh, that'll be exciting. Exciting then, something to look forward to.
I'll be dropping some hints in the year as to what that one will be.
Yeah. Get the excitement.
Written, yeah.
Great. Let us know if you've got any questions in the comments. Let me just check on my list. I feel like we've already done quite a good like description of your stash and how tidy it all is, just to make everyone jealous. So how do you feel about your stash? Do you find it really inspiring?
I do, yeah. The reason why I like having it the way it is as well is because this is the opposite side of the room to my sewing machine. So my sewing machine's that side. And I like to be able to sit with my sewing machine to sort of my left and be able to look over here and think, right, now what can I sew out of all of that? Because it's like sitting on a sofa inside a shopping centre, like a department store, and just being able to see everything around you and think, now what could I buy?
It definitely feels like a shop with everything on the bolts as well.
I see it as like a bit like a library of being able to see all the book bindings.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really nice.
Yeah. But yeah. So I've had a lot of people come in and they've gone, oh, that's like a piece of art on its own without even knowing like what to do with the fabric. Just to look at it's nice.
Jessica says, how can you have so much fabric in one room?
Yeah, I mean, it is. The thing is, I think it looks more than it actually is, because most of these pieces are probably only about 1 or 2 meters each. So because the bolts are quite narrow, it probably throws and looks more than it is.
Just looks extra artistic. Yeah,
it does look a bit like a mini fabric shop.
Do you ever feel like, oh, I could use this fabric, but then I'll have a gap there, so I can't use that one?
To be honest, there's always like a rotation of things being turning up as things go out.
Do you have a system like where you get them on the bolts like straight away when they arrive?
Yeah, it's unpacked, bolted, and in shelf. It never sits around. It arrives and it's stacked. It's like stashed away straight away.
Amazing. That's really cool. It's part of the process, like part of the unboxing.
Yeah, it has to be. I've kind of got a little bit sort of OCD about keeping it really tidy. But it's the easiest way for my brain to work through things. If I can see it all, when everything's tidy, then I can just crack on and get on with what I'm doing for the day when I get up in the morning.
Right, what have we got? What else we got? So do you, when you're making something, do you choose the fabric first or the pattern?
That's a good question, actually. With garment sewing, I try to choose the pattern first, and then I try and find a fabric that is required for that pattern, because otherwise I tend to find you get yourself into that. I mean, we all do it anyway. If we see fabric that we like, we try and get a decent amount that we know that we're going to be able to make most patterns from if we choose to. But I'm trying to be more sort of thoughtful and considerate about what I'm buying and what it's going to be used for, especially with garment fabric now. If I see like recently I've made quite a lot of the LB Textiles Cornell shirts, and I know that they work really well from double gauze and stuff like that. So if I see a double gauze now that I like, I think to myself, I only need XYZ amount because I know that I can make a Cornell shirt. And generally when it arrives, I do try and keep it to one side, match it with the pattern, and then have it made within a sort of like a 10-day period.
Oh, wow. Quite a quick turnaround then.
I tend to only buy garment fabric now if I have a specific use for it.
Yeah. Exciting. And then I feel like with the more quilting fabrics, the pressure's not as high because you can use smaller bits for lots of, so it's not like you need that specific amount.
Yeah, and I've got like a bin rotation system as well of scraps for all of the quilting fabrics. So I've got pieces that are like sort of like smaller than a 6-inch square in one bin, and then I've got larger cuts in another bin, and then I've got even larger cuts in another bin, and then I've got things that are fat quarters and above in another bin.
Nice. So what are your like go-to kind of scrap busting projects then?
Oh, see, I love doing covered notebooks and stuff like that with like sort of like 2.5-inch patchwork squares. I also like sort of like crumb quilting, where you basically just sew one thing onto another and then find another piece that fits the edge of that and then sew that on, and you gradually just build bigger and bigger. And I find that's quite good as well. If that, you know, there's those days when you sort of walk into your sewing space and you think, I'd like to make something today, but I have no idea what I want to make. I love pulling out a scrap bin and just, you could lose like 3 or 4 hours just sewing crumbs together.
Yeah, that's really good, actually. It's a really good idea.
Yeah. And then you can keep those blocks to one side. I've got some here, actually, these are a couple of blocks. These are just literally crumb quilted of like 2.5-inch squares. And I make them up into sort of like, these are 4x4. And then I might sew 6 of those together, and then it would give me a panel big enough to make a notebook cover. So the days that I don't really know what I want to sew and I don't have anything on pre-order or anything like that, which funnily enough, I haven't had one of those days in a while at the moment. It allows me to just sort of just sit there and just piece little pieces together and get through my scrap bin.
Yeah, that's really exciting, because I feel like sometimes, especially with garment sewing as well, it feels like the first step is like cutting out, like that's quite a big investment of like time and energy and brain power. Yeah. So I feel like, oh, I just like sit at my machine and just sew something. So have to get everyone to have a go at crumb quilting. Use up some scraps as well as an extra bonus.
And the good thing with that is as well, because you don't have to follow it. You don't have to follow a pattern. Two, things don't have to be accurate and precise, which a lot of quilting has to be super accurate and super precise. Whereas with that, you can just stitch whatever fits together.
Well, Jessica says, have you got a website so they can purchase a caddy or a pattern?
Yeah, my website is adamsews.com. I had a major problem with my site about 2 weeks ago where the whole payment system, everything, checkout system just failed. And the host of my site couldn't work out how to do it. So I've currently rebuilt a very basic website that's a new version of that, which at the moment has only got PDF patterns on it. It's got no live stock at the moment, but it is there for if anyone wants to have a look at just my patterns.
Nice. Yeah, I feel your pain with like technical issues.
It was like 2 nights before I was making all of my stock and everything to take to a show, and it just failed.
Yeah. Well, we're trying to launch like a email newsletter for Stash Hub at the moment. And so we were starting, it was just first sending out the first emails. It did like about 1,000 emails. And then it just was like, we've suspended your account. And we were like, why? And then the next, like, so we re-emailed them to be like, why has this happened? And then they emailed us back and be like, we've completed your request to delete all of your contacts. And we're like, not the request. That was like the opposite of the request. Please do not do this to us. So yeah, if you haven't had an email from Stash Hub, don't worry. This is an us problem. But yeah, technical issues that are just, yeah.
Yeah.
Very annoying.
It's a whole new beast is the technical side of website and writing pages and all of that stuff. Yeah, it just goes straight over my head.
Yeah. Does your partner support you with like the business, or are they doing their own stuff?
He's been really good recently, actually. This particular show that we're doing this week, he was literally like my whole admin team in one. Yeah, he's been great.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So you're doing it full time now, like the bag making and doing your pattern designs?
I'm sort of half and half between two jobs at the moment. So yeah, I'm getting there. I'm sort of 60% just my stuff now and sort of 40% my previous job. Yeah, but I'm gradually weaning away from it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exciting.
Yeah, it's good. It's like sort of every sort of 6 months that goes past, I'm able to get rid of one more day of the week at the other job.
That's good that you're able to like scale it down.
Yeah.
So do you have any like favorite projects that you've made in the past that you think, wow, I've really outdone myself there?
I've got quite a few things. There's a couple of things I've kept for myself. There's been like a couple of caddies that I've made and I've thought, I just love everything about that and I've had to keep it. But obviously, both of them aren't in the room at the moment. One of my projects that I made that was going to go on my website that I never ever got there is my out and about backpack.
Oh, that's so cute.
My one that I take to all of the shows and exhibitions and stuff, because you can actually you can get quite a few meters of fabric in this if you roll it up neatly. But it's got the padded adjustable straps and stuff on it, so it doesn't dig into your shoulders if you've got 10 meters of fabric in it. So yeah, that's one of my favourite things. That's one of the patterns that I've made in the past that I would probably never make again because it's got about 700 components. But yeah.
Yeah, amazing. So we've got Nicole says, have you got any other hobbies? Do you have time?
I do like cooking, I have to say. I do like, yeah, I'm quite interested in sort of like Oriental and Japanese cooking and different things like that. So I will quite often take the afternoon and I'll go and make like a whole batch of like 50 handmade gyoza.
Oh, nice.
But yeah, I don't really have that. Other than that, I don't have time for anything else.
You're too invested in the fabric. You can't be starting any more crafts now. Yeah. What's your favourite colour in a fabric?
Oh, that's a good question. My favourite colour in general is orange. I'm always drawn to orange. There's a particular fabric, this one here, that is like an ombre orange, and it's got this really like fine sort of like, it's almost like a line work cloud print on it. And that goes from like a really deep orange to a much brighter orange. I'm always drawn to that, and there's an orange stripe in this new range here as well, which I'm kind of drawn to.
I feel like orange looks good with quite a lot of other colours as well, like it just really pops.
Yeah, I've got a real thing at the moment about orange and pink together, like real hot orange, hot pink.
Nice. Wow. Oh, amazing. So do you have anything else you want to say, Adam, or show us? Or?
I don't think so.
Yeah, it's really good to hear about your stash. I love it. It's amazing.
Yeah, I think that's it pretty much. The rest of it's all garment fabric, which is not so neat and tidy.
I'm sure it is by your standards, though. It sounds like it's probably still pretty neat. But we can just say, oh, it's a real mess, just to make so everyone feels better.
Yeah, it is in a sense. It's a bit more sort of stuffed into the cubby holes, so.
The dog. You got a dog?
Oh, Luna, yeah. She's. Let me see if I can find her crazy thing. She'll probably want to say it like.
Chasing her down now.
Chasing her around the house. She always likes to have a little look in, don't you, Luna?
Oh, bless her.
Yeah, she always gets in on my videos, even if it's tap dancing around on the floor normally. Yeah.
She's got her presence be known.
Yeah.
Got a load of hearts coming in for the dog. Amazing. Nicole says, how long does it take to make one of your dolls?
Oh, the art dolls. Okay, I can show you one of those, actually. I've got the one that looks like Luna, funnily enough, which is this one here. These take sort of around 2 to 3 days from start to finish. But yeah, I don't tend to make that many of them anymore because I kind of got to the point now where I've got about 4 in here, and I end up feeling like they're watching me while I'm sewing if I make too many.
Or menagerie.
It's a bit like having a miniature zoo as well as a fabric stash.
Yeah. Incredible. Oh, well, thank you so much for joining us, Adam, and massive luck for the show this weekend as well. I'm sure you'll do amazing. Thanks so much, Adam. Bye.
Take care.
Thank you for listening to this episode. Please subscribe to Stash Chats wherever you listen to podcasts to tune into more great conversations with the sewing community. If you're interested in organising your own sewing stash, be sure to check out Stash Hub app, available on iOS, Android and web. Links with more information about Stash Hub and the show notes for this episode can be found in the description.